Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. They are the words that no one ever wants to hear from a doctor. You have cancer. Cancer never used to be talked about, but times have changed and people do talk about it now. So this week and next week, I will share information with you about eye cancer to help you understand this disease. The information I'm using comes from an excellent website. As they say about themselves, cancer.net provides timely, comprehensive, oncologist-approved information from the American Society of Clinical Oncology. In this program, I'll start with a back-to-basics overview of the parts of the eye, move on to types of eye cancer, risk factors, signs and symptoms, and the diagnosis. And then if we have time today, I'll get into the complicated system for describing the stages and the grading of the cancer growth. So first of all, the overview of eye cancer. Once again, this is from cancer.net, a website. Eye cancer is a general term used to describe the many types of tumors that can start in various parts of the eye. It occurs when healthy cells in or around the eye change and grow uncontrollably, forming a mass called a tumor. A tumor can be benign or cancerous. A benign tumor means the tumor can grow but will not spread. A cancerous tumor is malignant, meaning it can grow and spread to other parts of the body. Cancer that forms in the eyeball is called an intraocular or inside the eye malignancy. Intraocular malignancy. Now, as I mentioned, parts of the eye, a review. The eye is the organ that collects light and sends messages to the brain to form a picture. The three main parts of the eye are eyeball, orbit, and adnexal, or accessory structures, such as the eyelid and tear glands. The outer part of the eye is made up of the sclera, the retina, and the uvea. The sclera is the outer wall of the eyeballs. The retina is a thin layered structure that lines the eyeball and sends information from the eye to the brain. The uvea nourishes the eye. Both the retina and the uvea contain blood vessels. The uvea consists of the following parts: the iris, which is the colored part of the eye that controls the amount of light entering the eye; the ciliary body, which is the muscular tissue that produces the watery fluid in the eye and helps the eye focus; and then we have the choroid, the layer of tissue underneath the retina that contains connective tissue and melanocytes, which are pigmented or colored cells and nourishes the inside of the eye. This is the choroid. The choroid is the most common site for a tumor. Types of intraocular cancer. And once again, intraocular cancer is a malignancy that's inside the eye. The most common intraocular cancer in adults is uveal metastases, which is cancer that has spread to the uvea from another place in the body. This is called secondary cancer. This guide, this program, is about primary intraocular cancer, meaning that the tumor started in the eye and not somewhere else in the body. Melanoma is the most common type of primary intraocular cancer in adults. It begins when cells called melanocytes grow uncontrollably. Intraocular melanoma is also called uveal melanoma. Other less common types of an intraocular tumor would include the intraocular lymphoma, one that begins in the eyeball. This condition is rare and can be difficult for doctors to diagnose. Many doctors consider intraocular lymphoma to be a type of central nervous system lymphoma. Most intraocular lymphomas are non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Also, another type of intraocular cancer would be the retinoblastoma, a rare form of childhood eye cancer, and hemangioma, which is a benign tumor of the choroid and the retina that starts in the blood vessels. Other rare cancers of the eye would include conjunctival melanoma, which is a tumor of the conjunctiva, which is a membrane that lines the eyelid and eyeball. If it's not treated, conjunctival melanoma, it can spread to the lymph nodes, which are tiny, bean-shaped organs located throughout the body. They're used to fight disease. A conjunctival melanoma tends to recur on the eye's surface and looks like dark spots on the eye. Doctors often perform a biopsy on a spot that appears to be conjunctival melanoma. A biopsy is the removal of a sample of the tissue for examination under a microscope. Another type of rare cancer of the eye, eyelid carcinoma. This can be basal or squamous cell. This is a variation of skin cancer. This tumor may be surgically removed and is usually not dangerous if it's treated early. Next, you might have lacrimal gland tumor. This is a benign or malignant tumor of the glands that produce the tears. So next, we will move on to eye cancer risk factors. In this section, you will find out more about the factors that increase the chance of developing this type of cancer. A risk factor is anything that increases a person's chance of developing cancer. Although risk factors often influence the development of cancer, most do not directly cause cancer. Some people with several risk factors never develop cancer, while others with no known risk factors do. However, knowing your risk factors and talking about them with your doctor may help you make more informed lifestyle and healthcare choices. The following factors can raise a person's risk of developing eye cancer. First of all, your age. People over the age of 50 are most likely to be diagnosed with primary intraocular melanoma. In fact, the average age of diagnosis is 55. It is rare in children, and it's also rare in people over 70. Another risk factor would be your race. Primary intraocular melanoma is more common in white people, less common in black people. Another risk factor, your gender. Intraocular melanoma affects about equal numbers of men and women. And then you have to look at your individual history. People with the following medical conditions have a higher risk of developing primary intraocular melanoma. The first one of these medical conditions would be ocular or oculodermal melanocytosis, which is a pigmentation of the eye or skin around the eye. It's also called nevus of OTA, O-T-A. Another medical condition you might have is nevi. This is the plural of nevus. These are spots like moles, and if you see a nevi or a nevus in your eye, that is a risk factor. Another risk factor, dysplastic nevus syndrome, which is a condition marked by multiple flat moles that are irregular in shape or color. You also have to look at, this is in addition to your individual history, you have to look at your family history. Intraocular melanoma can run in families, although it is rare. Usually it's due to a mutation or change in a gene, and the gene is called BAP1, which is mostly linked with metastatic uveal eye cancer. This gene change is also seen in other cancer types, such as kidney cancer and mesothelioma. Other risk factors. Some studies have suggested that sunlight or certain chemicals may be a risk factor for intraocular melanoma. However, the data are not conclusive about this association. People with a combination of these risk factors may benefit from seeing an ophthalmologist for yearly examinations and protecting their eyes from ultraviolet radiation with sunglasses. Anyone who finds unusual moles or other skin growths around the eye or even elsewhere on the body should see a dermatologist. This is a doctor that specializes in skin diseases. This is especially important if there is a family history of melanoma. The next section is called Eye Cancer Symptoms and Signs. In this section, you'll find out more about body changes and other things that can signal a problem that may need medical care. People with intraocular melanoma often have no symptoms. Many times, an ophthalmologist finds the melanoma during a regular eye examination. The most common symptom is painless loss of vision. People with eye cancer may experience the following symptoms or signs. Sometimes people with eye cancer do not show any of these symptoms, or these symptoms may be caused by some medical condition that is not cancer. There are five of these symptoms that are mentioned here: having trouble seeing, losing part of the field of vision, 3, seeing flashes of light, seeing spots, squiggly lines, or floating objects, and the last one they mentioned is having a dark spot on the iris. Unlike choroidal and ciliary body melanoma, iris melanoma can sometimes be seen because it looks like dark spots on the eye. If you are concerned about one or more of these symptoms or signs, please talk with your doctor. Your doctor will ask how long and how often you've been experiencing the symptoms, in addition to other questions, of course. This is to help find out the cause of the problem. And finding out the cause of the problem is what is referred to as a diagnosis. If cancer is diagnosed, relieving symptoms remains an important part of cancer care and treatment. This may also be called symptom management or palliative care or supportive care. Be sure to talk with your health care team about symptoms you experience, including any new symptoms or changes in your symptoms. The next section we'll move on to is the eye cancer diagnosis. In this section, you will find a list of the common tests and procedures and scans that doctors might use to find out what's wrong and will help them identify the cause of the problem. Doctors use many tests to diagnose cancer and find out if it is spread to another part of the body, which is called metastasis. Some tests may also determine which treatments may be the most effective. For most types of cancer, a biopsy is the only way to make a definitive diagnosis of cancer. However, for eye melanoma, a diagnosis can often be made without a biopsy. Imaging tests may be used to find out whether the cancer has spread. The doctor may also suggest other tests that will help make a diagnosis. Not all the tests listed will be used for every person. Your doctor may consider these factors when choosing a diagnostic test for you. They might consider your age or medical condition, the type of cancer that you're suspected of having, any signs and symptoms that you have. They might also consider any previous test results. Now, in addition to a physical examination, the following tests may be used to diagnose eye cancer. And once again, this is taking into consideration those things I just mentioned. First of all, basic eye examination. Most cases of melanoma are found during a regular eye examination. The doctor will examine your eye with a lighted instrument called an ophthalmoscope, and he will also use a slit lamp, which is a microscope with a light attached to it. Another test might be ultrasound. An ultrasound test uses sound waves to create a picture of the eye. Another test, fluorescein angiography. This procedure takes a picture of the blood vessels in the eye. A fluorescent dye called fluorescein is injected into the patient's arm. The dye moves through the body and into the blood vessels in the back of the eye. The doctor then takes several quick pictures of the eye. Fluorescein angiography may be used to rule out eye problems other than cancer. The name of the dye is called indocyanine green angiography. This is a different test. Indocyanine green is a similar test that uses a different dye called indocyanine green. Another test would be called a fine needle biopsy. This procedure removes tumor cells from the eye with a needle. This allows the doctor to look at these cells under a microscope, a fine needle biopsy. Because doctors can correctly diagnose more than 95% of intraocular melanoma without a biopsy, this procedure is not needed for most people. Furthermore, patients who receive radiation treatment will not be able to have a biopsy in the future. Another test might be cytogenetics and gene expression profiling. Your doctor may recommend this type of test to help gather more information about your prognosis or your chance of recovery and about your treatment options. Cytogenetics or gene expression profiling tests are done using a tissue sample removed during either a biopsy or surgery, or in some situations, on an older tissue sample that was previously removed and preserved. There'll be more information about this in just a minute. Some eye tumors are categorized by either the term class 1 or class 2 tumors. Depending on the chromosomes and the genes, this can help determine the risk of the cancer spreading. Now, going back to that term, cytogenetics, this is the analysis of a cell's chromosomes or strands of DNA. This would include the number, size, shape, and arrangement of the chromosomes. We also mentioned gene expression profiling. This is a test that identifies specific genes, proteins, and other factors unique to your tumor. Results of these tests may affect your treatment options. Talk with your doctor about the risks and benefits of having one of these tests and what the results could mean for your care. Another possibility for tests that might be used for diagnosis would be tests for metastases and the risk of metastases. A tumor that starts in the eye can spread through the blood to other parts of the body. Most commonly goes to the liver. The doctor may see if the tumor has already spread to the liver by testing the levels of liver enzymes in the person's blood or through a computed tomography, CT, or a CAT scan. Or he could also use an ultrasound of the liver. This CAT scan that we just mentioned, once again, it's called a computed tomography or a CT scan. This scan creates a three-dimensional picture of the inside of the body with an X-ray machine. A computer then combines these images into a detailed cross-sectional view that shows any abnormalities or tumors. A CAT scan usually also can be used to measure the tumor's size. A special dye, which in this case is called a contrast medium, is given before the scan to create a clearer picture. This dye for the CAT scan can be either injected into a patient's vein or given as a pill to swallow. Another possible test might be magnetic resonance imaging. This is an MRI. Another test used for metastasis, a spreading of the cancer, is the magnetic resonance imaging, MRI. An MRI uses magnetic fields, not X-rays, to produce detailed images of the body. MRIs can also be used to measure the tumor's size. A special dye, also in this case called a contrast medium, is given before the scan to create a clearer picture. And once again, this dye can be injected into a patient's vein or given as a pill to swallow. There's another kind of scan that you may not have heard of. It's a positron emission tomography scan. Positron emission tomography scan. If you use the initials, this comes out to be a PET scan, P-E-T scan. The doctor may also order a positron emission tomography, a PET scan. A PET scan is a way to create pictures of organs and tissues inside the body. A small amount of a radioactive sugar substance is injected into a patient's body. This sugar substance is taken up by cells that use the most energy. Because cancer cells tend to use energy actively, it absorbs more of the radioactive substance. A scanner then detects this substance to produce images of the inside of the body. Your doctor may also recommend a rather simple chest X-ray to check if the cancer has spread to the lungs. After all the diagnostic tests are done, your doctor will review the results with you. If the diagnosis is cancer, these results, your test results, also can help the doctor describe the cancer. And this part is called staging. And the next section of the broadcast is about staging. Stages and grades. You'll be learning about how doctors describe a cancer's growth or spread. This is called the stage. This section also covers grading, which describes the composition of the cells. Staging is a way of describing where the cancer is located, if or when it has spread, and whether it is affecting other parts of the body. Doctors use diagnostic tests to find out the cancer's stage, so staging may not be complete until all the tests are finished. Knowing the stage helps the doctor to decide what kind of treatment is best and can help predict a patient's prognosis the chance of recovery. There are different stage descriptions for different types of cancer. The first type we're going to talk about, or you're going to hear about, is the TNM staging system. Three letters, TNM. One tool that doctors can use to describe the stage is the TNM system. Medical oncologists use this system, but your ophthalmologist may not use it. Doctors use the results from diagnostic tests and scans to answer these questions. For the T, which stands for tumor, the T part, how large is the primary tumor? Where is it located? The next letter, the N, stands for node. Has the tumor spread to the lymph nodes? If so, where and how many? And the M part of the staging system is metastasis. Has the cancer metastasized or spread to other parts of the body? If so, where and how much? These results are combined to determine the stage of the cancer for each person. And there are four stages, stage 1 through 4. The stage provides a common way of describing the cancer so doctors can work together to plan the best treatments. Some ophthalmologists may not use the TNM system to stage an intraocular tumor. However, they still consider the size of the tumor and how it is affecting a person's vision when deciding on a treatment plan. In eye cancer, T for an iris melanoma is described differently than the T for choroidal or ciliary body melanomas. The N and the M are described the same for iris, choroidal, and ciliary body melanomas. Now, we'll be getting into some of the details, but the details are so numerous and so precise that I'm going to skip over them. But rest assured, the information is out there on the website cancer.net for every single step along the way of staging and grading a cancer tumor. The T part, we're back to that now. The T part standing for tumor. Using the TNM system, the T plus a letter and or numbers from 0 to 4 is used to describe the size and location of the tumor. Some stages are also divided into smaller groups that help describe the tumor in even more detail. The following classifications are the same for any type of intraocular melanoma. There are just two at this point, so I'll read those to you. They start out by assigning either a TX or a TO. TX means the primary tumor cannot be evaluated. TO means there is no tumor in the eye. But then when we go on to the iris melanoma, we get even more details. An iris tumor is classified as T1, T2, T3, or T4. And some of these stages are divided into smaller groups like T1A, T2A, T3B, T4, like that. And the details get very, very specific when you get into those numbers. But once again, the doctor is trying to use a uniform system to describe your tumor so that everybody understands what it is. And when we get into the ciliary body and choroid melanomas, a tumor in one of these places is also used the same T score, T1, 2, 3, or 4, based on the size of the tumor. The size is measured, by the way, in optic disc diameters or millimeters. The tumor is measured both for width and height, also called thickness. A tumor is given a classification according to a very, very detailed table below, based on its width and height. The doctor may use and refer to this classification called a category, even more than what stage the tumor is in. This is because the size and the thickness of the tumor, the T part, is most important for finding out a patient's prognosis. And this chart, once again, goes from thickness very, very thick to very, very thin, and then the diameter going from very small to very, very large. And they find a number on the chart to go along with the T and the number schedule. It's very, very complicated, so we'll skip over that. Again, the information is on the website. Next, we'll go to the next letter in this classification, the N. We covered the T's. Next, we're moving on to the N's, describing the node. The N in the TNM staging system stands for lymph nodes. These are the tiny bean-shaped organs that help fight infection. Lymph nodes near the eye are called regional lymph nodes. Lymph nodes in other parts of the body are called distant lymph nodes. The N part of it is described the same for melanomas, no matter where they're found, the iris, the ciliary body, or the choroid. And once again, there's all kinds of description letters and numbers that are used after the N. The next, the M part, is metastasis, and this in the TNM system indicates whether the cancer has spread from the eye to other parts of the body, called distant metastasis. The M is described the same for the iris, the ciliary body, and the choroidal melanomas. And once again, we go from the M to the numbers to the letters for subcategories. Lots and lots of details about this. Doctors also sometimes use this type of cancer, describe this type of cancer by using the letter G, which describes how much cancer cells look like healthy cells when they're viewed under a microscope. The doctor compares the cancerous tissue with healthy tissue. Healthy tissue usually contains many different types of cells grouped together. If the cancer looks similar to healthy tissue and contains different cell groupings, it's called differentiated or a low-grade tumor. If the cancerous tissue looks very different from healthy tissue, it's called poorly differentiated or a high-grade tumor. The cancer's grade may help the doctor predict how quickly the cancer will spread. In general, the lower the tumor's grade, the better the prognosis. After biopsy, when the tumor is surgically removed, doctors may look at the types of cells that are in the tumor. This part is called histopathology. There are three types of patterns: spindle cell melanoma, epithelioid melanoma, and then we have mixed cell melanoma, which contains, as you might imagine, both spindle and epithelioid cells. So this is a tough part now. We come to the mixed cell, the cancer staging grouping. Doctors assign the stage of cancer by combining now the T, N, M, and G classifications. That's the summary. We will continue with this next week and talk lots more about cancer in the eye. So the program ends this week with a quote from Vivian Green, who's an American contemporary artist, author, and visionary. She says, "Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.